Welcome back to Advanced, everyone. We're so glad to have you here. Let's give everybody a big hand. Well, we're here for you. We want to discuss things. Some of our people that have listened in regularly write in and say they love to be in the class with us because these different people talking about subjects that they're interested in. So thank you, Hazel, for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, Linda, for coming.
You're welcome.
And thank Albert.
Yeah, let's thank Albert, too.
Thank Albert for coming.
Thank you, ladies.
And let's thank Doris.
Oh, yes, thank me for coming. That's right. Well, we're here for you so we can talk about careers. And, well, what did we talk about yesterday on page 32? We talked about boosting our career, didn't we?
That's right. There was a list of things not to say in the workplace, things that might make your boss think you're not very confident or assertive.
Right. That's true. Was there anything special that we wanted to remember then? I think there's kind of a do not say it list, and it depends on where you live. That's true. But what did we learn yesterday positively about things to be careful about?
Well, one of the things that I've actually made a note of is don't press repeat. Mm. You know, try not to repeat yourself too much. Sometimes it's effective to repeat something to get confirmation, like, Teacher Hazel, did you mean this? Okay, that's great. But sometimes it's just, it doesn't add or contribute anything.
Well, that's true, yeah. What did you think that you learned the most or is the most useful tip from yesterday, Linda?
Being efficient in what you're saying. So don't waste time in asking a question before you ask your question or saying things that are not effective.
I think we have to be very careful that when we say something, we know what we're going to say and we don't start out from a very weak standpoint. Just make excuses or something. We just get right into the subject, right?
That's right. You want to have a strong start and you also want to have a strong finish. You want to wrap things up so people know what direction they're headed in and who's responsible for what.
Clarify,
and we also talked about a timeline, maybe having some deadlines so people can accomplish what they need to do.
And who's supposed to do it?
Exactly.
Well, that's good. Well, those were good tips, and they were given by Dawn Kinsingsmith. But now today, we're going to talk about something else that Liz Ryer wrote about. What are we going to talk about today, Hazel?
Today, we're going to talk about picking the right career path. Some of us have jobs, or some of us perhaps are students wanting to get into a certain field, but how do you know what field is right for you or what company is right for you?
Well, you have to say what you feel is best, and sometimes we call this a gut feeling, and we say, well, my gut feeling is, it means what I really feel deep inside of me is this is what I want to do, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
It might not make the most money. It might not be the one that your mother and father picked out, but it's the one that you feel you should do. Isn't that true?
Right. You got to go with your gut. That's why The subdeck is check your gut.
Well, gut check. When you say guts, we talk about people being gutsy and everything, and it's kind of like it has to do with the middle part of your stomach or your intestines or something. I mean, what does it really mean to have your gut feeling?
Yeah, the gut is the inside of your stomach, I guess, area. But, you know, sometimes you have maybe a gut feeling that something's not right.
You can't explain it.
Yeah, so it's kind of an inward feeling.
Intuitively, you feel that way.
Intuitive is a good word, and we'll see that later in the article. You just have a feeling that something will work or something won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even explain it. But this will help us, this explains how to know.
How to pick it, right?
How to choose.
And to check how you really feel about it inside. Not everybody says, oh, this is good and that's good, but how do I really feel? Is it good for me? That's what we're going to talk about today, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good subject, so should we get started on it?
Let's get started.
Okay, let's read the very first section.
To pick the right path, it's time for a gut check. I'm at a turning point in my career and am trying to decide if I should move to a large corporate setting, stay with a smaller firm, or take the entrepreneurial path. How do I decide? Ways to decide. Whichever choice you make, you'll be most satisfied if it aligns with your values. Consider when you've felt most satisfied, most energized, most indifferent, and most unhappy in your work. Then, figure out what factors are underneath those feelings.
So, when you're at a turning point in your career, sometimes maybe a fork in the road, you're wondering like, like Doris mentioned earlier, should I take the career that offers me more money? Or maybe it might be better for me, for my family. Maybe I will be closer to them. Well, this is where we will decide, help you decide how to choose or what choices you should make.
You know, I'm surprised at how many people come to me and say, I don't know whether I should move to another country or I should stay here mm-hmm. or I should do my own business or I should join another one. It seems like a lot of people in their 30s and 40s seem to keep facing this situation. Did you hear more about that?
Sure, I think about that a lot.
Oh, I don't know.
No,
you know, a lot of people do seem to have that, don't they?
But I think times have changed. When I was growing up, my parents had a job and they kept that job all through their careers. But now people want to try different things and they want to work for different places or try something new.
And they get different opportunities they didn't have.
Sure.
Mostly you stayed in the same country, same hometown.
Right.
Now they say, should I move to Shanghai or Singapore or America? They have all these companies that are all over the world. Should I leave my home? They have to face these decisions. Don't you think that's true, Linda?
Right. Nowadays, people change jobs much more often than they did before. And so you come to these decisions more often, which you have to decide if you want to stay in your current position or move to a smaller company or a bigger company or even start your own company.
Right.
And we see the word entrepreneurial here, and that refers to starting your own business or getting into business yourself. And I think everyone dreams of being their own boss. That's the ideal thing.
I never thought of being my own boss, did you?
But you're already your own boss.
No, but I never thought about it. I just thought of trying to do something to help the world, make a difference. But whether I was a boss didn't come into it. But I think guys think about that more than women sometimes, don't they? Do you think?
And my brother and I had a print shop, and our goal was to have our company and watch it grow and stuff. We weren't very good at business. We were pretty good at printing. But so anyway, that was part-time, and we let that go eventually. But I think a lot of people would like to start their own business, many females, many males.
See what the man in the class thinks about this.
Okay.
What do you think about it? Do you think that's more of a man thing? No, I think it is.
I think maybe for guys, it seems like, this is what they should be doing. But I feel like women also have that drive as well to be their own boss.
Well, what they're doing, but I don't know that they feel they need to start their own company so much.
Do you think so?
Some do, and some don't, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, on the whole, generally speaking, the men are the ones that feel that their career thing is kind of very important in their life, whereas women think of relationships more, I think.
That's probably true, mm-hmm. or could be true.
I will, while we're talking about this topic, I did read recently about Harvard business graduates from the MBA program. It was the females that led the class. They had the higher grade point averages. So I'm not sure what that says, but if they're doing better.
That doesn't mean they want to have their own company. If they have a high grade point, they could still be somebody's secretary and do a good job.
Hopefully not with an MBA.
Well, people, women want to be president of companies and countries, so.
Yeah. But anyway, if you're in one of these turning points in your career and you want to decide, should I move to a bigger company instead of staying in the smaller one? Or should I stay in the smaller firm and be more, entrepreneurial? It means that I should actually do more in the company. Mm. In a smaller company, like you say, shall I be a big fish, in a little company or a little
small
fish?
Small pond.
In a big company,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people think that way or not. I don't think that way, but some people do, I guess.
Well, I mean, like, both paths have its pros and cons. And, we're going to help our audience learn the ways to decide by breaking it down. There's, like, specific questions they should ask yourself.
Well, one thing, they said the ways to decide, and I think this is very important, mm-hmm. because whatever choice you make, you'll be very satisfied in that choice if it aligns with or meets your values. If you decide to do something that you're not interested in or you think, then you're not going to make any difference in the world. I don't care how much they pay you.
Mm.
You're not going to be satisfied. So you have to think about What are your values? Don't you think that's important?
I do, and so does the writer of this article. You'll be most satisfied if what you're doing aligns with your values.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're satisfied in what you do, what energizes you. So there's a whole list of things,
right,
that you can just check and decide which path to take.
Well, it sounds like you're giving yourself kind of a test here on this thing.
Almost.
And then you figure out what things are underneath those feelings. And you have to ask yourself questions. Are you ready for the questions? Let's read the questions.
Questions to ask yourself. Specific questions that may help formulate your values include: what is important to me in a work setting? What type of role is best for me? Does the product, service offered matter to me? What level or form of work-life balance am I seeking? In what ways am I trying to make a difference?
All right, so we have some questions that you can ask yourself, or maybe you could ask someone else. So, Linda, what is important to you in a work setting?
What's important to me is that I really feel satisfied in my job, that there's an overall goal that I agree with, that the company has, and that also aligns with my values. So getting satisfaction, job satisfaction, is extremely important for me.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Albert, what type of role is best for you?
Well, answering this question, I would look at what, you know, I'm strong at, where my character excels at, you know, and I'll just go from there. You know, people usually, when helping others too, I ask, like, what do you like to do? Usually that's your strong suit as well. So I think that's a good direction to go with.
Okay. Doris, would you like to answer one of those questions?
Well, does the product or service matter to me? I would say yes, it matters a lot to me, because if we're doing something, let's say we're making a product, and it's not useful for people, then why make it? It's wasting materials and you know, harmful maybe. Or whether the service, like for instance, if we're trying to teach English and we're not really teaching it, it matters to me. Why do I want to teach it then? I don't want to teach it just to teach it. I want to teach it if you're going to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
So if we communicate with people, we have to connect. We don't even want to sit here and make this program if nobody's listening. Hey, are you listening out there, right?
Please listen.
Yes, please listen. But, you know, we really want to do something that helps people in some way. So I feel like if what I do doesn't help anybody, then I shouldn't do it. So I don't care what company it is or what the name of the company is, but if what I'm doing really helps people in their lives, then I think I'd like to do it.
Okay, great. And I think you just answered the last question, too. In what ways are you trying to make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one that we skipped over. What level or form of work or life balance are you seeking?
Then why don't you answer that?
Well, okay. But I think it's especially important for people that have families,
mm-hmm.
fathers, mothers and fathers that have families. They need a life balance because they want to spend time with their family, or
that's
least
true.
They should.
Yeah.
I have some, you know, four daughters. They're little dogs.
So. You have four dogs to take care
all
of.
All beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
But of course...
But you have other people you're responsible for.
Right.
You.
So mm-hmm. it's important to... Do you want to spend time with your friends or your family, or is work... Are you just going to be a workaholic? So you
right.
need to decide about that, about your life balance.
Well, there should be a balance. I mean,
right.
your life shouldn't all be work.
Right.
You know?
No, that's right. But when you ask these questions, then what is your gut feeling? So when I say what's important to me in a work setting, I could just say, oh, I like to have coffee breaks or something. But I would say it's more important to have like a family atmosphere that we try to have at Studio Classroom, and people could bring their kids and their dogs and their
mm-hmm.
cats. And, you know, to me, the setting, you go to work every day. And if you're working in a place where you don't like an office, that's not good either. So your work setting should be something you feel comfortable in. And I always tell people, if you don't want to work here, don't work here. Work here because you want to work here. And I think a work setting is very important. That's my gut feeling, that you should work where you feel comfortable there. Don't go to work and hate it. You know, I had a friend once who was a school teacher. He says, I don't like kids. Well, I said, don't teach school then. You know, you shouldn't do things that are not like you feel like doing. That's just important, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the worst, when you have to wake up to go to a job that you hate. That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
And I really like what you said, Doris, that, you know, if you take pride in the product that you put out, then, you know, you will look forward to going to work, like Linda said, and also, like, you'll be able to give it your best. You will want to put that effort because you know you're making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the next part here, when it talks about what are my future goals, it's very hard now to talk about future goals because the world changes so fast. And when you used to say, what are you going to do 5 years from now? What's your 5-year plan? Now people say, what's your 1-year plan? Because the world is changing quickly, and certain jobs are not open because they haven't invented that yet. You know, so things change so fast that it's very hard to say what they are. But it does talk about your future goals. So let's see what Liz Ryer says about it. Then we can discuss it together. Are you ready for that?
Mm.
Yes.
Ready.
What are my future goals? When you imagine your life in 5 or 10 years, where would you like to be? Consider how each option helps advance you toward that goal. Then, take a realistic look at your qualifications. You may have the urge to go out on your own. If so, you'll be more successful if you can combine your business idea with experiences that equip you to develop a business plan, find investors, build a team, and successfully deliver your product or service. If your self-assessment gives you pause, identify your key weaknesses and either focus on them to learn the needed skills or bring on a partner with complementary skills.
Well, what are my future goals? This is very difficult to think about because the world changes so fast. But I'm going to start with Linda here. What do you think about this section of the article on page 33?
Well, I think it's good to have goals. It's important. But like you said, we can't make goals that are too far into the future because things will change. So we have to be flexible as well.
That's true.
But it's interesting here what they say, that to help you advance towards your goal, you need to take a realistic look at your qualifications.
Okay, now how can you take a realistic look at your qualification? How can you do that?
Well, you look at your strengths and weaknesses. And
like if you hate kids, don't teach school.
Exactly, right. Like if you really want to be a cook, you know, that's great. But if you have no cooking skills, then, you know, you're not going to make a very good cook.
Better do something else.
Right.
You better work in a restaurant.
Right. Unless you want to invest and get those skills.
That's true.
Or get training. So I think that's another thing is your education, your experience, your talent. You run into people that have these big dreams, and you're thinking to yourself, there's no way they can do that. They're just not that kind of person. And so I think it's a good idea to try to realistically look at what you're good at, strengths and weaknesses, like Linda said, and see if you're the kind of person that can do what your goals would require.
Well, sometimes I think you don't even know for sure. Like we have one of our staff members who has been a nurse and studied nursing in the States, but now they're working in another department here. But they're using those same skills of being able to investigate things and in another kind of job. So what you learned in school might apply to some other job, and you might enjoy that too. So you can study one thing and do something else, but it's a little bit related, don't you think? So your future goal should be find out what you're good at and stick to that. And if you're not a good musician, then don't try to be a singer. You know? And we had this article. Well, you play the ukulele. That's good. But we had the article on music at the beginning of the month. And you can get a PhD in it and still can't write a song. And you can get a PhD in education and not be a good teacher. So you really have to find out what you do the best, don't you think, Hazel?
That's right. And what you have a heart for, too. It's important. Your gut feeling. What do you enjoy?
Yeah, so that's when that gut check comes in, or that instinct,
right.
what you
that's
feel
right.
strongly
right.
about.
Mm-hmm. And we all do different things here at Studio Classroom. Hazel's very good on TV and writing skits and things like that. And so you find out what things you're good at, and somebody else has to take care of the bills and paying for the printing, and they have to be in the finance part. And that's not you don't want to go into finance, do you?
No, I don't.
No. So you kind of have to find out which direction. Don't try to go in a direction that you're not good at. You do have to know yourself a little bit.
Right. And also, I mean, like, I really like the next line, which is like, you can find out what your strengths are, what you're successful at, and then you can combine your ideas or experiences with other people. You know, you can get investors, you can get other coworkers, or build a team. This reminds me of how last month I read about this guy who wanted to make a really beautiful Spanish Bible app for cell phones, but he doesn't know how to use computer coding or whatnot. And he found someone, this is someone who lives in the States, and he found someone in Romania who was willing to partner with him, and he did all the coding, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff. And originally, the guy who did this, he was, like, imagining, oh, maybe, you know, I'll get 600 downloads per month. And then each month, he's getting, like, 10,000 downloads.
Wow.
So, you know, he brought his part, what he was strong at, which is, you know, Spanish, the layout, the coloring, the abilities you can use in the app.
And somebody did the backboard.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if you know where your strengths are, you can go and find out what you can do best, and then find other people to help you out and work that together as a team.
Well, that's the same way like a Studio Classroom. We could all go out and just teach on our own, but having a team together so that we can actually make products, and we make DVDs, and we can be on the web and all, it takes a whole team, not just teachers. So there's a whole lot of people here, not just teachers, and I think a team together can do a lot. So when you think about what you can do, when you get together with a group that completes itself by different things, I think you're a lot stronger, don't you think?
Definitely.
So your self-assessment gives you a time to think about, I'm not very good at finance, so I don't think I'll be the treasurer. And if Hazel isn't very good, I'm not going to let her be the treasurer. But she's very good. And you like to be on the air and do the teaching, so you work on those kind of skills. And then you bring other people, not just a partner, but you bring many people in, and pretty soon you have a big company that helps each other, and you can do something that an individual can't do. So that's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got one more thing to read. This isn't time for navel gazing. Navel gazing is a very strange word, and it really means looking inward at yourself, doesn't it?
Yes.
Let's read that.
This isn't time for navel gazing. Get feedback from others on the types of opportunities that you're finding so that you have a broader view on what each might be like. Get outside of your head. What do you intuitively know about where the best fit will be? If one option makes you really happy, but you see many barriers, think about the feasibility of overcoming the challenges. After all, the right path isn't necessarily the easiest one, but it'll bring the greatest long-term enrichment to your life.
Well, this phrase, it isn't time for navel gazing, it's kind of a phrase that you might read. It isn't something to put in your vocabulary, but it means looking inwardly, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I mean, navel is your belly button.
Right.
So if you look at your belly button, you're looking down. So mm-hmm. you're sort of taking your eyes off the goal, and you're looking, reflecting on yourself. And of course, we need to reflect sometimes, but not
don't look
that
at your
much.
Own opinions. Yeah. Get feedback from other people about you're good at this and that, too.
So that phrase, navel gazing, it might be one you want to use with your friends, but perhaps not in business or with your boss.
Just know what it means.
To know what it means is enough.
But intuitively is a good word. We need to use that word.
Yeah, so if you're intuitive, you can probably guess what this word means just by looking at it, right? No, well, maybe you're not intuitive after all. No, I'm just joking. Intuitive means based on feelings rather than facts or proof.
You seem to know it.
Yes. You have the ability to understand or know something without any direct evidence or reasoning. Yeah.
You just feel like it's the right thing. That's what you call your gut feeling. You think, I just feel this is the thing I should do. And
right.
that's very important, isn't it, Hazel?
Right. Some trainers, especially animal trainers, they just are intuitive. They just kind of figure out how the animal thinks, and they just do the right thing to train or to teach.
Right. And if when you do this, it makes you feel happy, even though there's problems, there's barriers. But you have to think about, is it really feasible? Should I try to overcome the challenges? Don't let challenges stop you. Just think about, is it possible to overcome these? And if it is, do it. Right? Mm-hmm. Give it some thought.
Exactly.
Right?
And there's no job that's going to be perfect.
Not 100%. Perfect, right. The right path isn't necessarily the easiest one, though. Don't just take the easy way. But it will bring the greatest long-term enrichment to your life if you go by what you feel you should do here on Earth, what you're here for. Make a difference. And make your life be something more than just earning money and feeding your family, but have goals, right?
That's exactly right. You want to be satisfied and know that what you're doing is worthwhile.
So the right path is something that's meaningful to you in your life. And thank you for being with us, and keep studying and thinking of these different things. And intuitively, I think you'll realize that the more you expose yourself to different things, the richer your life will be. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So thank you all for being with us today. It's been good to have you, and good to have you listening out there. And we hope to see you again for a new lesson tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.